Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I've got another returning guest, and you know they're good if they come back, right? Or at least we think they are, and we'll let you judge that actual reality. Robert Lara is on the line with me. He is president of Synergos Financial Group and co-founder of TheRetirementProject.org. RobertLara.com. I got lots of websites for you. RobertLara.com, RetirementProject.org. And Robert's a provocative kind of guy. He's a financial guy, but he likes to push the envelope. And he wrote the book, and you'll see why I say that, Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core. And what I love about Robert is he's not talking just about money and the financial piece, although that is very important. He talks about a lot of the personal side, the human side of the financial and investments and all the stuff leading up to and taking you into retirement. So I love his take, and he is an ongoing writer. He blogs, he writes, he's just ongoing stuff, and I love following his work. And he had a couple recent articles he wrote that I thought were really cool, and we thought we'd talk about him with him today. So we're glad to have him on the program. A syndicated columnist for both Forbes and Financial Advisor magazine, and it's just he's out there, he's pushing it, but he's a good guy. Welcome, Robert.
Thanks, David. I appreciate the long, nice intro, and always a pleasure being on your show with you.
Well, you're very welcome, and I like having you on because you're writing some of the stuff I'm thinking, but you're just more courageous than I am, so I like that. So here's the thing that is really interesting to me. You know, people spend, you know, there's a couple running jokes in the financial industry, as you know, Robert. People spend more time planning their vacations than they do their longest vacation, which is retirement. And usually when we talk about that, we're talking about the financial or money part, but even to a lesser degree, do people plan what they're going to do in retirement besides the money part? They, you know, haven't necessarily thought about what they're going to do every day.
And it's scary, and I've gotten to the point where I don't want to say I don't care. I'm sick of being nice about it. And I need to wake, and we need to wake people up that, hey, it's going to be great that you've got X amount of money, but what are you putting on the back burner? What are you sacrificing to get there? Because you'll be surprised that when you get there, if you don't have a plan, that you're in rebuilding mode, trying to rebuild those relationships, trying to reestablish healthy habits and all those things. And it doesn't have to be. And I think the easiest way to sum it up is, you know, a healthy life leading up to retirement equates to a healthy lifestyle transition into retirement.
Well, and people hear that, you and I talk about this, Robert, they hear that, go, yeah, whatever, but I got to pay the bills. You know, I got to pay the bills. I got to save. I got to work hard. I got a demanding job. I've got these things. You know, the mortgage isn't free, Robert. I got to do these things. And so, yeah, I'm going to have to wait on seeing the world. I'm going to have to wait on going to the gym every day until I have more time. What do you say to that?
Well, a couple things. And you and I both, you know, financial advisor is an awesome job because we get to help people with their money, but we also get to know what's going on in their lives. And for everyone who comes in who has plenty of money and retirement's going to be great, there's the client that comes in and says, just found out I've got lung cancer, or my spouse has lung cancer, or so-and-so just had a stroke. Retirement can change
quickly.
Very quickly. And essentially, you can't have that stuff planned for. And again, my philosophy is create a no-regrets retirement plan. You know, you got to assume at some point you're going to be on your deathbed and you're going to look back and say, hey, I wish I would have done this or said that or seen this or been part of this. Start checking that stuff on off now instead of waiting for that wake up moment.
Well, and it is so important. And I've had people tell me, you know, look, because I talk to my clients and they ask, you know, how my kids are doing and things like that. And they're like, you know, what are y'all doing? And I've never had anybody say, Robert, you know, David, you should just work more. I mean, nobody's ever said that to me. Everybody says the same. It's the same course. They all are singing in the same course saying, you know, spend time with your kids, have fun, enjoy yourself, take time for yourself, stay healthy. I mean, ironically, I know that we need to tell the clients this, but when I ask them or I share with them a little bit about my life and what I'm trying to do to do the things that you are definitely preaching and that I agree with you on, is that I hear the client, when they're giving me advice, they'll say that, you know, these are the things that I wish I had did. Coulda, woulda, shoulda, why didn't I? Or I did do them, and I'm glad I did. Even if I had to work a little longer, I'm glad I did those things.
Well, and the best part of being a financial advisor is we get all that information. It also makes us a valuable commodity, you know, because when you're working with an advisor who's got the experience, who's been through those things with clients, you can communicate. It's just important to have that dialogue. And for the most part, advisors are the gatekeepers to retirement, meaning people are comfortable talking to us about those components. And it is about the dollars and cents. Ultimately, you need those dollars, but really, how are you going to apply those to your lifestyle? And having a open, relationship with an advisor where you can talk about those things, I think is critically important.
Well, here's the brutal reality, because this is a bit of a taboo subject, as you know, Robert. Let's have, you know, person number one and person number two, and they have the same backgrounds. They arrive at, they arrive at age 30, and they have the identical careers, doesn't matter what it is, identical careers, identical family, identical financial, everything's the same. And then from 30 to 60, let's call the first guy John, and we'll call the second guy Bob. John does all the right things. You know, he embraces this recommendation of that you have of being taking care of yourself, working out, exercising, eating right, taking time, spending time with the family, doing all those things. And he arrives at age 60 with those experiences and that good health. Bob, on the other hand, works himself to death, never sees the family, has a strange relationship with the kids, doesn't have a good marriage with his wife, gets to 60 with all kinds of health problems, and maybe he's got five times the money that John's got. Who's better off?
You know, it would appear, you know, when you want to compare and judge people on the surface when it comes to, quote, retirement, because people perceive it as a financial event, Bob is better off because he's got $1 million. But in reality, that $1 million is going to be gone quick because he's going to be bailing his kids out of stuff or giving them potential money. He's going to be paying for hip replacements. He's going to be, you know, and again, it's not to say there's a delicate balance.
Sure.
There's obviously some sacrificing that takes place. But what I often find, again, is that people, they give up the very things that are most important to them to get to retirement, and they're surprised when they get there that it's not what they expect it to be. And it doesn't have to be that way. And that doesn't mean you stop saving or you don't have certain types of investments, but it just means you got to pause and look at the other stuff as well.
I agree. Neither one of us are saying do 3 hours of yoga a day and wear a hemp suit. I mean, I'm saying that, you know, and I agree with you so much. I mean, I rode my bike this morning. You'd be proud of me, Robert. Got out there, did 30 miles on the bike. I mean, I'm going to stay healthy, not only for my family and for myself, but for my clients. Because if I don't have energy and, keep myself in good health, I can't do the work that my clients have asked me to do. So it really is important. And, you know, when I saw your article, I was like, you know, golly, this is such a taboo subject because we're not, you know, hey, our American culture so much, and it's not necessarily across the board this way. There are certainly plenty of health movements, and there's, you know, different cycles we go through. But there's certainly a lot of expectation in our culture that people are measured, at least to some degree, on how much they accumulate by the time they retire. And I could say one more thing I'll add to this, Robert, is I've seen a lot of people, as you have over the years, doing the work that we do, and giving them advice, and I've seen people come in that are, you know, 70 years old, and they look like they're 50. And then the next person that comes in that's 70 looks like they're 90.
And we get a front row seat to it. And, you know, again, for your listeners, you know, it is just, all you need is that little nudge that says, you know what, you do need the right asset allocation, you got to say, but you got to know your other numbers too. You got to know your BMI. You got to know your blood pressure, and you got to manage those things because, you know, kind of the big thing I always say is running out of money pales in comparison to running out of family, friends, health, and ultimately time.
Yeah, and BMI doesn't mean Big Mac intake. It means body mass index, right?
Right.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that for everybody, Robert. You know, it really is, at the end of the day, it's what matters most to you in your life and what are you trying to do? And, you know, and that's really the next thing we need to get to. We'll grab a quick break. We'll come back and talk to Robert about checking the lost and found table before you retire so that you are thinking ahead about what you're going to do. Stay right there. We'll be right back with Robert Laura.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN, no cost or obligation. Or visit PlanStronger.com.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Robert Lara on the line with me, president of Cernagos Financial Group, co-founder of the retirementproject.org, robertlara.com, and the book. You got to look at the book. Naked Retirement, Stripping It to Its Core. And a lot of what we're talking about is a lot of what Robert talks about in his book. And Robert's been called a man, but others say he's a myth or a legend. Is it too much to say he's all three?
Yeah, it's a tough call.
There you go. Now, enjoy having you on the program, Robert. Hey, I've got, before we leave the last subject about taking care of yourself and living in the moment, you're ready for this? You'll love this. I'm sure you've seen it, but for our listeners, the Dalai Lama has a quote. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
When asked what surprised him most about humanity, he answered, man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money. Then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health. Then he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present, the result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he is never going to die and then dies without ever having really lived.
It sounds like he's been reading Naked Retirement.
I think so. Well, you know, you wonder about those Buddha robes and, you know, the whole Naked Retirement thing. I don't know. We won't go there.
Ironically, I've interviewed his office about 10 times trying to interview him, but he has not gotten back to me yet.
Well, now maybe we quoted him. Now maybe he will.
There we go.
If he will only live in the moment. All right, Robert, let's do this. Let's go to the other one that I really enjoyed that you'd written about recently was the Check the Lost and Found Table Before You Retire. And I thought that was just outstanding because people need to maybe look and see before they get into this retirement thing, maybe the things that they've set aside or kind of lost sight of. So give us a little bit of perspective on what you're getting at here.
Yeah, you know, I've got elementary school age kids, and you walk into their school and you see the lost and found table. It's just this pile of clothes and lunch boxes and really, you know, cool stuff. And essentially, it hit me. That's a very powerful metaphor for retirement because, you know, when you're going to school, you get kind of caught up in the hustle and bustle. You lose a mitt and you misplace your lunchbox and you're without it for a few weeks. And, of course, your parents come and they find it right away and you're reunited. And it's really exciting and invigorating and gives you a new sense of purpose and direction and responsibility for that item. Well, the same for people on their way to retirement. I get caught up in the hustle and bustle, dealing with the kids. And they lose these passions, these hobbies, these things that define them when they're outside of work. And then all of a sudden, they get to retirement. They realize they don't have them, that they've lost them. They're still out there. And so what I want people to do is, and I know you subscribe to this thing, just stop and take a look and think about those things and get reacquainted with them. Because that's what's going to drive your successful transition into retirement is having those things to retire to instead of just looking for them once you get there.
Well, yeah, if they're important, then they ought to be maybe a little important now. I don't know. I'm just saying that, you know, get into some of this stuff. And I think it goes much in line with, you know, taking care of yourself, exercising and eating, writing, all those good things that we talked about on the first segment, Robert. This, too, is taking care of the other things that are important to you. You know, I've been very guilty of this part myself where I've put some things on the back burner. I love to read science fiction books. Well, you know what? I sometimes put that off and say, golly, I've already read enough for one day in the work I do. But, you know, I really enjoy that. And, you know, I'm not going to be a rocket scientist, but I do like reading about science fiction and what's coming next. And so, you know, reconnect with those things.
Well, the real reality of it, the best legacy you can leave is a healthy and happy you. And so you've got to carve out time for those things. And again, you know, I think what's interesting about, you know, retirement is even self-employed people, entrepreneurs, you know, you can go into your business venture. And I know I did when I first started my own business when I went independent, I had a goal that I was going to work out in the morning, and then at lunchtime, because I had the new flexibility, I was going to go to have lunch with my kids more often. I was going to do all these amazing things now that I was in this new situation. Well, because I wasn't doing that before, that didn't happen. And the same thing happens with retirement. People think, hey, I'm going to start walking and working out every day, eating healthy once a week and taking these classes. But then they get there and there's no extra motivation in retirement. There's no coach or anyone kind of spurring you on. You got to start fresh. And so again, that lost and found point is start building these habits now and get ready for it instead of waiting.
I think that's spot on, Robert. You can't expect to get there and say, okay, now I've got Robert helping me every single day get out of bed and go chase a new hobby or habit or fun thing to do. We've got to embrace these things today. And again, I know it's easy for us to say these things, but for everybody who is running, quote unquote, running the rat race, you know, if you wait until the very end to start working on this, it just may be too late to have it have the same, to be ready for it, you know?
Well, and everyone has that impact moment, that aha moment, whether it's a family or a friend getting, you know, diagnosed with cancer and you stop smoking, or the person who, you know, is in a car accident because they were texting on their phone, or something happens in everyone's life that wakes you up to the things you know aren't going well, you need to do better. And instead of waiting for that point, be at that point and start to take a look at some of these things and use these taboo topics and conversations to motivate you, not to kind of feel bummed out about it, and start taking those steps in the right way to be in that exclusive club of people that lives a passionate life.
Yeah, because we don't know how long it's going to last. And again, not only are we the gatekeepers to retirement, often, Robert, we are helping people on the back nine of life, to put it nicely. You know, we are helping them, you know, many part of the job, especially if you work in the retirement planning area like you and I do. You know, we work with people and they come to us sometimes. You know, they might come to us in their 50s, but they might not come to us till they're in their 70s. I mean, it just depends on what their life has done. They've been relocated. They're not happy with their current advisor. Their advisor retires. I'm running into that more often than not now, where advisor's retiring or the person has relocated and like, you know, I want somebody to take a look at this. I need a new advisor.
Right.
And so, but the point is we're seeing them at, you know, at their later ages in life. And, you know, it's, you can tell if somebody is living that passionate, inspired, excited to get up and get going everyday life, or they're just kind of dragging along.
Well, and you know, again, you represent a new breed of advisor, because again, our job is not to be a therapist or a counselor or a coach necessarily, but to raise awareness and to have an open platform for people to talk about these things. For years, retirement is something that happened in the shadows. People didn't talk about everyday life and all those other factors. And again, you don't have to come in and see your advisor and tell them everything that's going on, but you want to have someone who's at least willing to raise awareness, talk about some of these things, but more importantly, provide support, insight, and those little things. And that's going to be the big change, I think, in our industry, is the advisors who adapt things like this, who are information providers saying, hey, here's some things you need to think about and do. That's what's going to be different than just, here's the perfect asset allocation, now go off and good luck.
Yeah, right.
That's the big change, and we appreciate you leading the way.
Well, I'm glad to be part of it. I think you've got the lead position, Rudolph, but I will follow you and be happy to be part of it. Robert Lahr, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today. RobertLahr.com, RetirementProject.org, and of course, the book, Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Are you looking for a trustworthy local advisor for your investment and retirement planning, but you're not sure how or where to begin? Start by looking for a certified financial planner practitioner. Visit www.cfp.net to search for an advisor in your local area who's earned this highly regarded professional certification. Pick 3 CFP practitioners. Set an appointment and interview them. Ask questions. Listen carefully to their answers. Check references and research their firms with the Better Business Bureau. This PSA is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Robert, Laura, our guests today. You know, I was thinking of renaming the show, Robert. We might call it On the Couch with Robert, Laura, our weekly psychiatric treatment. No, it's good stuff. I like where you're coming from. And I think that, you know, we can always do better to talk more with our clients about these issues and just to get them empowered. That's kind of my view on the role I take, is not to tell them they can't do something, but to say, look, if these are the things you want to do, let me help you get there so that you can get on with it. You know, get on with life. Don't wait, you know, and enjoy. Go ahead. Yes, you can go from the, you know, the third floor of that condo to the penthouse if you want to. Let's figure out how you can do it if that's how you want to spend the next 10 years of your life.
Well, and I think the important point is, life wasn't made to be done alone, and you got to partner with the right people. And these days that means, you know, more than just the right accountant and attorney. You need the right advisor, you need the right person to help you work out. You need the right person to, you know, help you deal with this mental, emotional state. And so it's really about forming the right partnership to have those pieces in place. So,
well, I agree with that, Robert. I want to shift gears because I also enjoyed your other writing here recently, Retirement Income Passport. Kind of caught, it was kind of a breath of fresh air that, you know, you talked in this recent column about retirement portfolios from around the world, and we get such a U.S. centric view of the world, you know, being quote unquote the largest economy, you know, and all eyes kind of stay focused on the United States and what we're up to because we're the big kid on the block. We're kind of everywhere. But there are wholly different ways of looking at investing, especially for retirement or retirement income in other parts of the world. And I thought that was very interesting that you had taken a whirlwind survey, maybe around the world in 80 days or so. And so give us a peek into how other places view retirement income and some of the strategies that they're taking.
Yeah, I thought it was really, you know, because I started to think, because I was going to communicate with people all around the world, and, you know, I get the opportunity to or just have people read the book or just even inquire about different things. And especially in Australia, for some reason, I don't know why, but, you know, I reached out to a couple of Australian advisors, and it was interesting because their kind of main index pays a much higher dividend or yield than ours does. It's up near the 5% rate. And so it's not uncommon for, you know, people just to invest in that because it generates the income for them. It almost sounded, for lack of a better term, simpler or more direct. And then really surprised, especially with people in Japan, let's say, you know, in Asia, and their preference to stay out of the general stock market and to use real estate, income properties, other things. And it just, you know, because here it's like, oh, you retire, you get a 60-40 portfolio, you got stocks and bonds, and you got some fixed income and these things, but very different than in Canada, too. And I've worked with some Canadians, and interesting how they're very, their portfolios are very slanted towards energy, natural resources, because that's their where they generate their primary GDP and everything. So very just, I guess I had always been curious about what are other people saying and doing and how do they do it, and it's very different than what we do.
Yeah, and I think the thing that really strikes me about this, and I read your article all the way through, and I found it interesting that, you know, the thing that strikes me about it is doesn't mean we abandon, quote unquote, our approaches in the United States, or as an advisor, we should all of a sudden, you know, invest like somebody from Australia or Canada would, but to bring in some of these elements could be beneficial. You know, bring it's okay to think bigger than just one dimension or one approach. Step back a little bit and, you know, look at this big blue marble and say, how are different peoples around the world, how are they investing, and is there something that is of value to us in building a portfolio? Do we want to have maybe some stocks from around the world? Yeah, maybe we do. And maybe we want to try to get some of these dividend-paying stocks. Do we want to have REITs? Do we want to have these different elements? Because, you know, it's all the biggest room anywhere is always going to be the room for improvement.
Well, I agree. And I think, you know, getting, you know, into the nitty-gritty of the financials, you know, when you think of the fact that how strong the dollar is against other currencies, you know, there are some opportunities with, you know, some of these international dividend payers. And again, not that it's going to comprise your entire portfolio, but what I have found over the years is that clients aren't looking for a shocking and amazing portfolio, but they don't mind a little sex and sizzle. We live in very much a sharing economy today. So if that means advisors adding one or two unique portfolio plays to give the client something to watch and to talk about and just to focus more on just the broader scope of things, it can be a good way just to help them stay engaged with the portfolio, help them become more aware of how things work in different environments. And again, keep them involved, which I think is important.
No, totally important to be engaged and have an ongoing conversation. And I love the idea of just kind of, you know, looking at some of these different things like the, you mentioned the Australian, I guess it's their large cap index, you know, that has that higher dividend rate. You know, if you're going to own some, you know, some different pieces of the world, again, as part of an overall balanced portfolio, it's been long written about, as you know, Robert, that having both U.S. and non-U.S. Allocations really can help not only give you the potential for performance, we always put that word potential in there, but can really, you know, mitigate some of the risk because, you know, what goes on in the United States doesn't necessarily directly impact, you know, what's happening in Australia.
And it's, you know, portfolio management is about risk management. And again, I think when I look at people and I work with a lot of different people and a lot of different advisors, what people are looking for is an advisor who has a pulse what's going on. What does this look like? Because, again, that stuff and that strategy isn't right for everybody, but you want access to the information or you want your advisor to know how this could work or what it would look like or what some solutions are to their concerns, and that's exactly what I wrote it for.
Very good. Well, we're glad you did, Robert, and it's always excellent and brightens my day to have Robert Lahr on the line with us and a returning guest. We'll have him back, of course, you know we will. RobertLahr.com, retirementproject.org, and the book, Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core. Robert, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate the time.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.